Joshua 24.
We are still, we finished up the series, so to speak, on the dysfunction in the family, function and dysfunction in the family. But we are not done with the family by any means. We're going to move on here today. And now we're going to move into about 5 or 6 messages on how to have a godly home. We spoke about function and dysfunction in the home, and to start out with, to kind of set the base for the family series of, you know, realizing that, you know, whether we want to admit it or not, we have issues in our families. And we've been over all that. We're not going to go over that again. But now we'll move on to a group of messages on how to have a godly home. Now that we realize that there is things that can very well affect our homes, we'll move on to these messages. And in the first in this group of messages, we've entitled Salvation Must Be Experienced. If we are to have a godly home, the very first thing that needs to happen is salvation. You cannot have a godly home without salvation. There's good people in this world. Pastor and I sat here for several hours yesterday just talking, just going over some things, and we had some things going on in our life, nothing bad by any means, but I wanted to share with him some things and what we thought would probably take an hour, took 4, but we enjoyed. We sat right here and talked yesterday, and we talked, you know, one of the things that we talked about was how that, you know, a family, to have a godly family, it's got to start with salvation. It must start with salvation. We talked about some people, we weren't talking about you people, but just people that we encounter in life, and I talked to him about some people that I've worked for and trying to witness to them over the years, and he said, the one particular guy I was talking about, he said, yeah, he said, he's a good man, right? I said, yeah, he's a good man, and that's what he sees himself as, is a good man. I've never, you know, I've always tried to help people. I've never really, you know, that's, you know, they tell you they're good, they won't tell you they're bad, but it's self-righteousness, so to speak, and, but being a good man doesn't mean you're saved. I'm sure that in a number of this morning, there's some people here that believe they're good. And no doubt, in man's eyes, you are good. Mm-hmm. I didn't see anyone walk in here this morning that looked like they belonged to an MS-13 gang. I didn't see that. I don't see that. I see people. I see good people, but I can't see your heart. God can see your heart. He knows whether you're a saved person. This kind of, you know, goes along with pastor's messages on Sunday morning. Who is a righteous man? And no doubt, as God arranges these messages, and, you know, I said, him and I sit here and talk, but we have never talked about, you know, you give this lesson, and I'll give this one, and this message, and that message. We don't talk about that. We talk to God. And I believe God directs each of us in the way we should go, and I believe that he has directed us as the first of the year here to speak on the family for a while. And we're going to do the best that God enables us to do. But salvation must be experienced. Here in Joshua 24, famous verse, verse 15, we'll start in verse 14. Joshua speaking here to the children of Israel. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. We'll stop right there. We're going to read verse 15. But can you see in that verse that there has to be a difference? There has to be a time. There has to be a change in your life. When you go from serving the gods of your fathers to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Amen. Whether the gods of your fathers, the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Salvation must be experienced. In chapter 24, but here at the end of the chapter, the very end of the chapter, in verse 29, it says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Now, I don't know. In verse 29, it says, and it came to pass after these things. I don't know between verse 15 and verse 29 how much time passed. I don't think much time passed. I think Joshua was giving this charge at the end of his life. 110 years old. He is giving this charge to God's people. In verse 15, in this chapter, Joshua is giving the people a challenge, or I would say he's giving them a choice, if you will. Think in your mind, can you imagine all that Joshua has been through in his life? He's 110 years old. All that he's seen, you realize that Joshua was born in Egypt. The children of Israel were in Egypt 430 years. Joshua's 110. Joshua was born in Egypt. So Joshua saw a lot of things. He saw those gods in Egypt. He's seen the things that the people of the Lord could not let go of. He's seen the plagues. He's seen God, through Moses, bring the children of Israel out. He's seen them cross the sea. He's seen God part the sea. Joshua walked through there with them. He's seen a lot in his time. A whole lot in his time. You think about what he saw when he grew up, and then later as he served under Moses, as Moses' servant to help him. And then to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, as God gave him that charge back in Numbers 26 and 51, we see that he was leading over 600,000 people, if I'm correct in my research there. So he had quite the job. Now, God had divided up some things by then, in that particular job, but Joshua had quite the job as he led all these people. He led them to the promised land, but yet he realizes there are still some of them who had a choice to make. Mm-hmm. In that group of people, he realized that, you know, some of them are just tagging along. Some of them have a choice to make yet. Why would he say in verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve? He gave them a choice because he knew that they had to make a choice. You and I have to make a choice. Salvation must be experienced to have a godly home. Number one, we see that salvation must be experienced in that we see, number one, we see the disagreement. We see that in verse 15. There's a disagreement. It says here in verse 15, the first part, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. He didn't just say, choose you this day who you will serve. He said, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord. Now, why would Joshua say, if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord? Because somewhere there was chatter that, you know, this just doesn't seem right. Why are we serving the Lord? 600,000 plus people, somebody had a burr in their saddle. Yes, somebody didn't want to serve the Lord, but they wanted the promise. They wanted to be that good man. Because if I be a good man, one day I'll fly high, as you hear people say. I saw something recently. I don't know the man. I just saw something on social media where this fella had some connection with a guy I work with. That's why I saw it. But he passed away. He was a truck driver. Nobody that any of us know or anybody would know. And they had a big to-do at the funeral. And that's fine. If you want to do that, it's not so much, the funeral is not so much about that person as it's about the people that are out here. But people do different things at funerals, and they had a big parade, so to speak. And they talked about him flying high. Your days of trucking is over. Go on to be with on the streets of gold. I have no idea who this man is, but I would guess he's probably not on the streets of gold, knowing some of the stuff that was said in the conversation. But good people want to go along. Joshua knew good people wanted to tag along because things were looking good. I mean, wouldn't you say if you seen the waters part, he walked across on dry ground and God took, wouldn't you say, if things are looking good, I'll hang with this crowd. Yeah. All the things that Joshua had seen, all these things that the people had seen, but yet there was a disagreement. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I guess the answer to the question of, if it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, why would this come up? I would say that they had other gods before them. And they could not choose because Joshua is giving them a choice. Which gods do you want? Do you want the gods of your fathers that you served on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell? Make a choice, people. Make a choice. What do you want? The fact of the matter here is that Joshua is making a statement about who he and his house are following. He knew these people and he knew that some of them had a disagreement with the Lord. Don't get sideways with pastor or anybody else that stands up here to give you the word of God if they say things like I said earlier in a number of these people, this amount. There's some who haven't made the choice yet. Oh, they might have made a profession. They might have crossed the sea, the dry sea, so to speak. They might be in the crowd, the 600,000, so to speak. And they might be going along, and they might want to go to the promised land. But they might not, because they haven't made the choice. Have you made the choice today? Can you say firmly that you have made the choice of the Lord in your life?
Amen.
There could be some here this morning that way. Are you in disagreement with God? If you are, you need to make the choice. Who's God? What God are you going to serve? Matthew 6 and verse 24 says, "No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other." There's a choice, folks. You gotta make a choice. It's not only a disagreement, but there's a decision. He says, "Choose you this day," in Joshua 24:15. The choice is simple. It says here in verse 24, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers," "whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood." The choice is simple. Are you going to serve your father's gods? Your father's gods could be money, could be a career, could be family, could be friends, could be a myriad of things. But the gods are your father's. Are you going to serve them? Are you going to serve the Lord? Choice is simple. Are they your friends? It says here, "Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." I thought about that as I studied. And just make an application here. In my life, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, and I think you could agree with this, you would agree with this, they're the people you know, the people you rub shoulders with, the people you work with, your friends that, you know, I work with people who I would say they're my friends. Worked with them for a long time, and they're my friends. Now, outside of work, we don't usually communicate. Once in a while, something, one or two of them, like if it's deer hunting season and the boys or I get a deer or something, you know, I might shoot one of them a picture or two of them and say, "Look what we got," you know, and they're like, "Great, man." Or they might send me something. But we don't hang out together outside of work. They're just my friends. The gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, you and I have them. We all have them. We all know people who we would say they're our friends. Are you going to serve their gods? The choice is simple. Or the Lord. Are you going to choose the Lord? He is the only true God. And you can notice a sense of urgency in this. He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." This day whom you will serve. Joshua didn't say, "Listen, guys, I mean, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you guys got to make a decision, you know. You can make it next week, you can make it next month, you can make it next year. But you got to make a decision. No, Joshua knew that you can be gone like that. Mm-hmm. And every one of us here know that you can be gone like that. I've said before, you might not make it when you pull out on Long Road. You might not make it out that back door. My father-in-law's church, the sound man sat back there where Matt is, back in the corner, and boom, heart attack, gone. He was a saved man, but he died right in church. Joshua knew there was an urgency. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Vapors don't last long, folks. You could have a pot sitting right here on the table on a hot plate right now, and those vapors from the water in it would come up and they would be gone before they reached that ceiling. Vapors don't last long. Life isn't long. Especially if God's given you more years than he promised in his word. You can be young and be taken out of here, and you can be old and be taken out of here. But no matter whether you're young or old or in between, you must know the Lord. Salvation must be experienced. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The decision, what will your choice be today? Discouragement, or excuse me, the disagreement number one, the decision number two, and the distraction, excuse me, not the distraction, the distinction, can't read my own writing. Number three, the distinction. It says here in verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua wasn't interested in fitting in. There was 600 plus thousand people there, if my calculations are right. And if I'm wrong, it's still a lot of people. But Joshua wasn't interested in fitting in with the crowd. He wasn't interested in serving the gods of his fathers, which were on the other side of the flood. And he wasn't interested in serving the gods of the Amorites in whose land he dwelt. He wasn't interested in fitting in. Joshua was not interested in following the crowd. Joshua was not interested in having a normal marriage or raising normal children. When salvation is experienced, it will change your family. We're talking about how to have a godly home. And if you are to have a godly home, you, men, you and your wife, me and my wife, we knew that we weren't going to have a normal home from day one. From the time we met, we knew we had a goal. Once we met and talked with each other for a while and got to know each other, and it wasn't long before we knew this is what we should do. We knew that I knew that she was what God had for me, and she knew that I was what God had for her. And we spoke even before we were engaged about family. What's your wishes, your desires, your prayer for a family, and what's mine? And we talked about those things, and we knew that our family was not going to be normal. I mean, you can look at my kids, you can tell they're not normal. I was going to use Jason and Shauna for that, but But no, you won't be normal. Your marriage won't be normal. Fellas, your marriage is not normal compared to the guys you work with. You know, I've worked with guys before that have said things that I didn't even want to know. I mean, cheating on their wives and all kind of stuff that I don't want to know about this, don't. But, you know, as a Christian, you're not normal in your marriage. How many years?
Long time.
Marriage. A long time. Is anybody here? Yeah. Oh, Sam and Ann. How long you been married, Sam? Ann? 60
next month.
60 next month. I seen you look at her, Sam.
God speak.
I'm the same way. I can usually tell you if it's an even year with it. But so a long time. Your marriage isn't normal. That's not normal. People, if they last 4, 5, 6, 7 years anymore, it's not normal. People will get married, have children, and before the children are gone, boom, they're going separate ways. It's not normal. We're not normal. If salvation is to be experienced and you are to have a godly home, there's going to be a distinction. Joshua was not interested in having a normal home or a normal marriage or raising normal children. We don't raise our children the way the world does. We talked a lot about that last week. You don't raise your children as a Christian the way that the world does. If you don't care about them and you don't love them, which I don't know who would do that, but if you don't, then let them go. But I don't know any mother or father that could just let their children go to the world that if they truly knew the Lord. Joshua wanted to be different in a godly way. If you trust the Lord for your salvation, you will be different. I know this. I can take you back to the time that I left go of that pew back there where Emma's sitting and come up here and spoke to Pastor Koblenz about my need of the Lord as to accept him as my Savior. And over time, as I've examined my salvation, I will tell you, as soon as I let go of the death grip that I had on that pew is when I got saved.
Yes.
It wasn't about what I said here. I've got all caught up in that over the years. And messed up, truly messed up about it in my mind. But when I carefully examined it, and no one told me this, I come up with the Lord gave me the assurance that I needed that, hey, you remember what happened when you left go of that pew? Because before I left go of that pew, I was like, well, what's mom and dad going to say? What's the family going to say? This is different. This here was different. This place was different to me. I've been in church all my life. But this was different. Been in church all my life and never had that conviction.
Yeah. Amen.
That I had several times before that. That conviction that I was a sinner, and I needed to be saved. Mm-hmm. I didn't know everything and all that stuff, and nobody does when they get saved. But I knew that there was something missing, and I knew there was something between me and the Lord. And for the first time, I saw that Jesus died for my sins. And I came and accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But I know, as I say, Joshua wanted to be different in a godly way. I knew very well when I left go that pew that my life from that moment on was going to be different. And with the Lord's help, it has been. My life verse is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
He begun that work and he will finish that work. There was a number four. Number one was the disagreement. The decision, number two, the distinction, number three, and number four is the determination. It says here in the end of verse 15, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This kind of determination requires a lot, but three quick things that it requires. The first thing, it requires leadership. This determination requires leadership. True leaders make difficult decisions. As a father and the head of the home, there's sometimes I have to make some difficult decisions. Some are easier than others, some of them are harder than others. Over the last 2 weeks, we've had a lot of decisions to make. But being the leader and having determination given to me by the Lord, I was able to make the difficult decisions and find the peace of God in them. Number two, you need loyalty. Joshua's God had never done him wrong. We spoke earlier of some of the things that Joshua had saw, and we could go through, we could have a whole, just the things. If we just went through the things that Joshua saw, we would be here for Sundays upon Sundays. God never done him wrong. Why would he not serve him? Folks, salvation must be experienced. The question here in this verse where it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua asking these people, there's a difference. And there has to be, salvation has to be experienced. There's leadership, there's loyalty, and number three, there's love. To be able to serve God alone, it will require a special kind of love for him. Fellas, ladies too, if you're going to serve the Lord, young people, if you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have a special kind of love for him.
Yes.
Because it takes a special kind of love to serve God when you're alone. Mm-hmm. You young people that are just getting, dabbling into working jobs and stuff, you're learning quickly that you're not at home with mom and dad. You're learning quickly that the world around you is not saved. The world around you is wicked. They want to pull you down. The devil wants to destroy you through that. But you need to serve God alone. If you've truly trusted him as your Savior, it takes a special kind of love to serve him alone. When you're out there and you're the only one that knows the Lord, it takes a special kind of love to serve him. You only get that love by knowing him as your Savior. Salvation must be experienced. And number five, there's not only a disagreement, a decision, a distinction, a determination, but there is the direction. It says here in the end of the verse, we will serve the Lord. God, Joshua gives these people a choice, and he gives them direction, which way to go. He said, we will serve the Lord. He tells them there's an urgency. We talked about that, where he says, choose you this day. You got to make the decision this day. You've got to do it this day. You can't put it off. And I beg you, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, you need to make that decision.
Amen.
Joshua is telling them that. He gives them a direction. He says, we will serve the Lord. You can't serve him until you've been saved. And then, and only then, can you serve him. You will serve him once you learn how to love him. Do you know him today? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The Lord doesn't lay these messages on my heart and on pastor's heart about salvation if there's not someone that needs it. It's not just to make the saved feel good. And I know, because there's times where I'll get up here and there's nothing. I've said nothing about salvation. And there's times just like this morning where we hit on it. Pastor will say the same. Only those who put their faith and trust in the Lord to take away their sins can serve him in sincerity and truth. Back in verse 14, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. If you have sincerity and truth and you've trusted the Lord as your Savior, you can have a godly home. But first of all, in the godly home, salvation must be experienced. It's not an option. It must be experienced.